Sometimes the lessons learned from making mistakes provide the best possible opportunity for not making the same mistakes again. Good judgment comes from the experience of bad judgment. Sometimes we need to learn from defeat in order to move on to victory. You can learn all sorts of things from failure. You can realize what just doesn't work, what needs to be done differently, what new approaches must be initiated. Think of the Notre Dame football season this year. Actually, I don't like to think about it. The first two games were painful. They were discouraging for the players, the coaches, and especially the fans. But as athletes, as a team, they seem to have learned some lessons, and that sure helped things yesterday. The same thing is true in business. Often the wisest, shrewdest businessmen are the ones who in the past made some stupid calls and lived through some hard times. It was only later they knew how to do it better. Now, I'm a bishop, not an economist, but I'm convinced the mess we're in our economy largely stems from not learning the lessons of the past. In the same way, with some marriages. Will a marriage last when a couple thinks they have all the answers and have nothing new to learn? Or are the good marriages the one where sometimes there were some problems, some arguments, even a crisis or two, where the two people were forced to grow through their troubles, make some timely changes, and renewed their love on better terms? Perhaps it's only when love has been tested, only when love is open to challenge and change, that there is lasting love, true love, for better or for worse. Our faith, Christianity, is based on the premise that all of us make mistakes, that all of us are sinners, and sometimes we are defeated in life, and we need a fresh start and God's offer of mercy. You know, there is no doctor in the world who can heal a sick person if that person is convinced they're healthy. The best teacher cannot teach a student who thinks they already know everything. And even Jesus Christ cannot save a sinner who refuses to acknowledge their sin. In our Catholic tradition, many of the very greatest of the saints, the heroes of holiness, the models of Christian service, had quite a past before the time of their personal conversion. Saints, after all, are human beings just like you and me, so they all made mistakes except for the Blessed Mother, who had a unique gift of grace. They may have been seriously messed up, but when God offered them a future, a new life, a new beginning, they were humble enough, wise enough, to accept a new way of life. Saint Augustine, in a famous and moving passage from his aptly entitled Confessions, describes this process of self-knowledge and change. Speaking directly to God, this converted sinner declared, "Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. I tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned with your peace." like Augustine, that great doctor of the church, like those tax collectors and prostitutes that Jesus praises in today's gospel. Only late did they realize that they needed God's gift of grace. Holiness does not come from being perfect. Real holiness comes from acknowledging that God alone is perfectly good and that we all need God's good grace. And it's also important to remember that in cooperating with the grace of God, what we say is never as important as finally what we end up doing. The first son mentioned in today's gospel arrogantly refused to obey his father's command. Like you and me at our worst moments, that son knew what was right, but he did what was wrong. But later on, he thought about it. He repented. As the gospel puts it, he changed his mind, and he ended up doing his father's will. The other son, however, gave lip service to his father's commands. "Yes, Father, I will go and work in your vineyard." But then he turned right around and would not serve. As Jesus makes clear to the chief priests and the elders who are challenging his authority to teach in the temple, "The kingdom of God is only open to those who themselves are open to change and challenge from God." The chief priests and elders, they thought they were already perfect, and they looked down on sinners. But it was the sinners who heard the good news and whose lives were being redeemed. The reign of God is for those who are willing to learn from their mistakes and learn perhaps the greatest of all possible lessons, that God can and He will help us if we are humble enough to know we need God's help. St. Paul urges the same humility when he says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. He emptied himself. He humbled himself, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore God highly exalted him." Christians, all of us assembled here for Mass, we all need that Christ-like humility in our lives if we hope finally to be glorified by God. We don't come to Mass to worship ourselves. Rather, we come to thank and worship Almighty God who can save us from our blindness, our stupidity, our sins. God has spread a rich banquet before us. The Mass in this life is God's greatest blessing and our greatest consolation. God offers gifts that are incomparable, unsurpassable, and the gift of God Himself is His most wondrous gift. We are empowered by the Mass to do what God asks, to serve in His vineyard and be children of His kingdom. At Mass, God challenges us with His life-giving word. God changes us through the power of His Holy Spirit. God even feeds us with the most precious body and blood of His Son. God truly in the Eucharist becomes the food and drink of all those willing to admit that we are hungry and thirsty. God satisfies our hearts and lives. We were made for God, and we can only be truly happy if we truly love God. Like St. Augustine, we will only rest when we rest in Him. So may all of us know what we need and be ready to accept what God so freely offers. That is a grace and a love and a mercy that is as endless as God Himself.